Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name. It's a story of a man who loved old books, and he came across an acquaintance of his who told him that he had just thrown out an old Bible that he found in the attic of his family's ancestral home. This Bible had been there for generations and generations, and he said, "You know, I just couldn't read it. It was somebody named Guten, somebody or other, printed it." Gutenberg, as the book lover said, I mean, that was one of the first Bibles ever printed and first books ever printed. A copy of that sold for over $2 million recently. And his friend said, "Well, mine wouldn't have sold for a dollar. Some fellow named Martin Luther wrote all over it in German." Well, sometimes people don't realize the treasure that they have in the Bible. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Many people look at the Bible as just simply another book written, but it's certainly something much more than that. Turn, if you will, to our gospel lesson today, our second lesson from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4. It's on page 1864 in the Pew Bibles. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read these words about the Bible. It says, "The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Now, there's a sense in which when we hear that phrase, "the Word of God," we think to ourselves, well, that's talking about Jesus, because Jesus is referred to as the Word of God. In John's Gospel, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And then it goes on to say, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so Jesus is called the Word of God in John's Gospel. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, Jesus is also called the Word of God. And so sometimes when we hear that phrase, "the Word of God," we think it's referring to Jesus. But many times when we see the phrase, "the Word of God," it's referring to the Bible. And that's certainly the case in our lesson from Hebrews today. In the book of Hebrews, it's talking about the Word of God as the Bible. And certainly there's a sense in which you can't really divorce Jesus Christ from His Word. They are inexorably linked, if you will. And so in Hebrews 4, as it's talking about the Word of God, it says that the Bible is living and active. It's not just some dusty history book, although it does contain a lot of history in it. It's not a work of literature, although it contains many literary devices. It's not a book of theology or doctrine, although it contains a lot of theology and a lot of doctrine. It's not a book of prophecy, although it does contain a lot of prophets and prophecies. It's not a book that is simply written by man, but it's a book that is inspired by God. God inspired the human writers to write what they wrote. In your bulletins, you'll find an insert that I've printed up for you, and that is going to refer to many of the scriptures that I'll be talking about today, because instead of spending a lot of time going back and forth in the Bible and looking at these different scriptures, I've just printed them out for you so that you can read along as I mentioned some of these various scriptures. But the Bible really is God's revelation to us about Himself and about what He wants us to know as human beings. Certainly God's revelation is not just in His Word written, but it's also in His Son Jesus. In fact, earlier in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 1, we read this: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His," what? "Powerful Word." Jesus is referred to in the refers to the soon-to-be-written Bible, what He said in John chapter 17, "I have revealed you to those you have gave me out of the world. They were yours You gave them to me, and they obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. I am coming to you, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have their full measure of joy, of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not for you to take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So the purpose of the Word of God is to reveal the truth of God to us, to reveal truth to us. We find that that is what the writer to the Hebrews describes as the purpose of the Word of God. St. Paul describes the purpose of the Word of God in this way in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Verse 16, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, that the person of God, the servant of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So the Bible is written not just to reveal God to us and what God is like, but also to let us know how we are to live our lives in relationship with God and with each other. And also to equip us for the good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. So that's the main purposes of the Word of God. The Word of God is certainly something that has been given to us in order to equip us to do the things that God wants us to do. Our second lesson says that the Bible can also cut right to the heart of who we are. It cuts right to our minds and to our hearts and reveals things to us about what's inside of us. And certainly, the Word of God can change our minds. The Word of God can change our behavior if we allow it to, if we pay attention to it, and we really ingest, if you will, take in what it says to us. There was a story about a white supremacist that I heard about a while back that he really was full of hatred toward other ethnicities, other races, and he was so much filled with this hatred that he would organize marches and rallies for the white race and would really be constantly denigrating those of other ethnicities and races. And one day he was reading the Bible and he came across Galatians chapter 3, which says this, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And that scripture touched his heart, and he began to realize that he was looking at races in all the wrong way. And he began to pray and repent of his sin and asked God to change his heart. And God began to change his heart and filled him with a love for other races. So that now he goes out and he begins to talk on behalf of other ethnicities and races. There is, the Word of God is active and powerful. Nikki Gumbel in our Alpha course talks about how he was changed and transformed and became a Christian by reading the Gospel of John. The Word of God is alive and active, and it's powerful. In the book titled Secrets of a Prayer Warrior, Derek Prince, the author, talks about how he was, earlier on in his life, suffering from big stomach problems and colon issues, and how he feels like that the Word of God brought healing to his body. He said this, God led me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, which says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." It was what I came to refer to as God's medicine bottle. I purposed to take God's word as my medicine 3 times daily after meals. After each meal, I would get away by myself, open my Bible, bow my head, and say, "God, your word tells me that these words of yours will be health to all my flesh. I take them now as my medicine in Jesus' name." In that unhealthy climate of the Sudan, he says, God's word brought me perfect, permanent health. The word of God is alive and active and powerful. It can bring healing to our souls, our spirits, our minds, our bodies. As Psalm 107, verse 19 says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them." And whether you are healed by the word of God or not, we're called to put our trust in God's word, in his promises. He said this in John chapter 6. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 63. "The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life, yet there are some of you who do not believe." Now, what is keeping you from believing the word of God? What is keeping you from believing his word? Perhaps you have intellectual questions. May I suggest to you that there are good and satisfying answers that are available to 9/10 of the intellectual questions that we have about the Bible. And certainly if you need some help in locating some references and some resources that can help you to learn more about the Bible and can really boost your confidence and your faith in the Scriptures, let me know and I'll be glad to point you in the direction of some things that can help you. Some may have moral questions about the Bible and questions because you view morality in maybe in a different way than you see the Scriptures clearly pointing to. And may I ask yourself the question, why am I unwilling to accept God's view on this subject? Perhaps your heart or your mind is rebelling against what maybe inwardly you know is true. I would encourage all of us to not just read the Bible, not just study the Bible, but rather to think about it and meditate on it. If we read a passage of Scripture, for example, ask God, "What are you trying to say to me through this particular passage?" Now, maybe that God might be saying something very simple to you, like, "Trust in me." Or he may be saying something complex to you, something like, "You need to go to Joe Smith and ask his forgiveness for something you said to, or did to him so that you can be reconciled to him, because my word says that you're to forgive one another and to be reconciled to one another." And so you may get that out of a passage that you're reading. Or God could speak any number of other things to you out of a particular passage that you might be reading in Scripture. Ultimately, the question is, are we listening to God's voice? And then are we willing to follow that which he says to us in his word? I want to conclude by saying a prayer that really is based on a prayer in the prayer book that actually we're going to be hearing next week in our college for the day. And it's a prayer which goes like this. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. Help us to meditate on, think about, and apply the Scriptures to our lives, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.